I'm still proud to be an American. And it's not because of what we become, but it's because of where we began. And thank God to be one of the only nations that's ever been founded upon the Word of God. And we still need to cling to that. God has us here for a purpose and for a reason. And we're supposed to be salt, and we're supposed to be light. So we're supposed to be making a difference while we're here. Amen. But it's good to be here today, and I enjoyed being able to be with the young people for the youth rally. And I love trying to help young people. I told them there, I was thinking back, actually on Friday, and I've been working with young people for 44 years now. And so I said, most of you weren't even around way back when I first got started. But I love young people, love the opportunity to try to influence them. So my wife sends her love and regards to you. She really, really, really wanted to be here, but the doctor said no. She had the surgery on Wednesday, went fantastic. They actually only had to remove one parathyroid. And I was telling Mrs. Stumpfel this. It's amazing how God put our bodies together. When they removed the enlarged parathyroid that they thought was causing the problems and everything, as soon as they removed it from her, her levels went back down to normal. Just amazing how God puts things together the way He does. And so she is recovering well, and just continue to keep us in your prayers. I go home, leave out real early in the morning, and we fly out to Pennsylvania on Wednesday. So start a revival meeting there, and then go to Ohio, and still got a few more meetings before we slow down a little bit. So we always love having the chances to be here, and we thank God for this place. And it's a special place. Don't ever take for granted what you've got. Well, I'm going to read something to you here now, maybe make you laugh for a second before. You know, as you get older, I used to work out so hard and train so hard and do all that. And as you get older, you think, man, did it do any good? But here's what it says. In case you feel bad about missing your exercise today, ponder this. The inventor of the treadmill died at 54. The inventor of gymnastics died at the age of 57. World bodybuilding champion died at the age of 41. The best footballer in the world, Maradona, died at the age of 60. James Fuller Fix, credited with helping start America's fitness revolution by popularizing the sport of running, died of a heart attack while jogging at 52. But Colonel Harlan Sanders, the KFC inventor, died at 94. So how did smart people conclude that exercise prolongs life? Says the rabbit is always jumping up and down, but it only lives for 2 years. The turtle that doesn't do anything lives for 400 years. So get some rest, still chill, stay cool, eat, and enjoy life. Amen. I thought, that's pretty good. I think I like that now. Amen. Anyway, you know, I love word studies. And I do a lot of different, my messages sometimes are on word studies, and that's what this is today. It's a combination of a word study and a thought concerning that word. You say, what word is it? Well, it's simply the word consider. Consider. The word consider literally means this. It says to estimate or contemplate, to ponder or think over. So when we consider something, we're contemplating it, we're pondering it in our mind, we're thinking over it. Webster's 1828 dictionary definition says to view attentively. It says to sit by or close. It says to set the mind or the eye to. And it says to examine with attention or to have regard and respect to. So when we consider something, we're thinking it through and we're regarding it, having respect to what it is that we're considering. Well, the word consider is found in its different forms 98 times in our Bibles, and it's an important and a key word in the Scriptures. I just want to read a few of those leading into this to get you to think a little bit. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 39, when Moses was speaking to the children of Israel, he said this, "Consider it in thine heart that the Lord, He is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath, and there is none else." Wow. Amen. Consider that the Lord, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. When you start thinking about that, boy, you ought to contemplate that. You ought to meditate on that. You ought to think about that. You ought to give respect to that. He is God. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 24. Samuel to the children of Israel, "Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things He hath done for you." Woo! Man, I tell you, that's a whole other message right there, man. You stop and contemplate and consider how great things God has done for you. Amen. There ain't one of us deserve anything but our neck break in hell. Amen. That's all we deserve. God has been so good to us. Job 37 and verse 14, it says, "Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God." Amen. We should be considering these things, meditating on, thinking, giving respect to these things. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 13 and 14, it says, "Consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which He hath made crooked?" Amen. Amen. Consider how God works. In Psalm 8 and verse 3 and 4, boy, this is challenging. The psalmist said, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" Wow. When we consider everything that God created, who in the world are we? Amen. That He would think about us, even create us and think about us. In Haggai chapter 1 and verse 5 and 7, both of those two verses, it tells us that we're supposed to consider our ways. Amen. Boy, if we would consider our ways more, then maybe we wouldn't do some of the things that we end up doing, getting ourselves into the positions we get ourselves into. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 24 and verse 27, in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord says to that, "Consider the ravens, how He feeds them and takes care of them and everything." And then He says in verse 27, "Consider the lilies, how beautiful they are. They neither toil nor spin, but God has arrayed them in such glory." Man, we ought to consider God and the works of God. But I want to have you turn to Hebrews chapter 12, if you would. And this is really the text for the message in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." You know, it starts out talking about heaven, man. I mean, there's people cheering us on, and there's a great cloud of witnesses encouraging us to just keep on going. And then it says this in verse 2, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." And look at verse 3. "For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Boy, of all the things that we are commanded or told that we're supposed to consider in Scripture, we're admonished, I don't know that there's anything greater than to consider Jesus. Amen. Consider Him. That's what I'm going to speak about for just a few moments this morning. Consider Him. Father, I pray that You would bless the next few moments that we spend together. I pray You'd challenge our hearts through the simple truth. And Lord, this morning, may we just magnify and lift You up this morning. May we exalt Your name as we consider You. Father, do the work only You can do. I pray if there's somebody here today that's never truly been born again, that does not know that heaven's their home, that they would truly consider Jesus today. Have Your will and way, I pray. We'll be careful to give You the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I just got three or four things that I want to give you this morning. Not a long message, but just try to encourage and challenge us a little bit. And the first thought is simply this. Consider Him and His love. A love that would go to a cross. Not just go to a cross, but endure great suffering and heartache. Why? Because He loved you and me. That's really what this is about. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him. It was the joy on the heart of the Savior that you and I would be saved. What love. Tells us that a man would even dare give his life for somebody, but Jesus gave His life for you and I. Amen. John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Oh, the world today tries to tell us there's multiple ways to heaven. There's multiple gods. There's one God. One Creator. And there's one Redeemer, Jesus Christ. That's it. There's no other way. It's only through Jesus Christ. Thank God that He loved us enough that He would send His Son and that Jesus would come and die in our place so that we could have a home in heaven with Him. What love. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Boy, this one challenges me all the time too. But God commendeth His love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Man. As evil and wicked and rotten as we are, He loved us so much, He died in our place for us. What love is that? Man, there's not a man alive that would go out and give himself and give his life for somebody that's a wicked, wretched, a criminal, a prisoner, whatever. Nobody would do that but Jesus, because Jesus loved us and He gave Himself for us. John chapter 13 and verse 34, says this, that Jesus also told His disciples, love one another as I have loved you. Boy, that's a challenge. What do you mean? Jesus says, you know, you guys are supposed to love each other the same way that I loved you. Wow. First John chapter 3 tells us that we ought to be willing to lay our life down for the brethren. Amen. Boy, that's a challenge. What love that He had for us, for you and I. Consider Him this morning and His great love for us. I love this passage. Look over, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. And Romans chapter 8 and verse number 35. Boy, precious verses. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Well, I tell you, you might be going through some things today. You might be having some heartaches today. You might be having some trials today. You might be going through some difficult times today. But there is nothing that can separate you and I from the love of Christ. He goes on to say, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Amen. What do you mean, man? We can conquer anything because we've got a God that loved us and gave Himself, and it can never be separated, that love, from you and I. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Man, thank God this morning. The great love that He had for you and I can never be taken away from us. He loves us with an everlasting love. Amen. What are you saying this morning, Brother Martin? I'm just saying we ought to stop and consider Him this morning. Consider, first of all, His love for us. What a great love. But secondly, and this is probably the majority of the thought here, as we look back in Hebrews chapter 12 again, it says in verse number 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. The second thing I would have us to consider this morning is consider Him and what he endured. No, don't just stop. Don't just thank God that he loved us, but we ought to stop and think about and consider what he endured for you and I. It's hard to fathom and comprehend. In the garden, look back at a few passages here. Look back in Luke chapter 22, if you would, in verse number 39. Luke chapter 22, and when he's in the garden, right before he is going to be taken away and taken to the judgment hall, and before he's going to be crucified, he's in the garden with his disciples. And it says in verse 39, and he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Notice verse 44. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Wow. Consider what he endured for you and I. Enduring, facing that he was going to go to a cross, that he was going to bear all of the sin of all mankind for all time. And he said, Father, the humanity side of him, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And God sent an angel to strengthen him and to help him. And he prayed more earnestly, as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Well, what he endured for you and I. Consider that this morning. Not only that, it tells us over in the next chapter, in chapter 23 and verse 4, then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, after they'd gone and got him and taken him to the judgment hall, he says, I find no fault in this man. Why? Because he was innocent. Amen. He endured that, going before these people, being shamed and being put down. Why? Because he loved us and because he wanted to pay the price that we would have had to have paid. It goes on to say it again over there in verse number 14. He says, I haven't examined him before you, have found no fault in this man touching those things wherever you accuse him. He's not guilty of anything. But he endured that. Why? Because he had to do that to pay the price for your sin and mine. Amen. What about over in verse number 20 again? It says, Pilate therefore willing to release him spake again to them. But they cried saying, crucify him, crucify him. He endured that for you and I because he loved us. Amen. The Holy Spirit, through the prophet, the Old Testament writer Isaiah, put it in a way that we all ought to consider oftentimes. Look back at Isaiah 53. Our precious Savior and what he endured for you and I. Of course, this was the prophecy of what he would fulfill, in which he did. Isaiah chapter 53 says, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence. neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Boy, verse 10 challenges me every time I read it. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Wow. It pleased Jehovah God to bruise his own son. Why? So that we all could be brought to him. Consider what he did for us. Before we begin to whine and cry and complain about our cross and how bad we have to bear it in this life, may we stop and consider him first. As it says in our text, lest we be weary and faint in our minds. I'm not trying to make light of anyone's cross or suffering. I'm not trying to make light of anybody's trial that you're going through. But I'm just saying, if we would consider him more, maybe we could make it through this thing a little bit easier. Think about everything that he did for us. Our suffering in this life pales in comparison to what he went through. Think about Philippians 1:29. It tells us, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. We have to go through that in this life. That's part of what it's all about. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 4. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation even as it came to pass. Tribulation, trials, heartaches, sorrows, troubles, they're a part of this life. But stop and consider Jesus and what he did for you and I. We can endure it because of him. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Suffering is a part of this life. The anguish, the trials, the heartaches and everything. But we can endure it because we've got a Savior who went through the agony and knows what we went through. And he's there to help us, to encourage us through it. Amen. Sufferings, affliction, trials are all a part of it. But consider Jesus. But why? I don't deserve this. Did he deserve it? Look with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 2 real quick. 1 Peter chapter 2. Notice what it says here. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. But committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. That we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes ye were healed. What are you saying? Boy, we ought to consider him and live the way that he lived for us. What do you mean? Hey, when you go through the suffering and you go through the heartache and you go through the trial, first of all, don't let suffering lead you to sin. Amen. He never sinned. The suffering never caused him to sin. And he said he set the example for each and every one of us. Amen. You're suffering through some trials with you in your life personally. You're suffering through some hardships, maybe in your family. You're suffering through these things. Let me tell you something. It's okay. Jesus went through it and suffered with it. And he knows what we went through. And he'll be there to help us through it. Don't let that cause you to sin because you're going through suffering in your life. Amen. He says also, don't let the suffering lead you to fight back. Phew, how oftentimes do we do that? Amen. We got to fight back at this. I'm going to fight back. Preacher, you said some things about that this morning during the Sunday school hour. And, well, we always got to get on time. Well, wait a minute. If we're filled with the Spirit the way we should be, that won't happen. Amen. If we're considering him and what he endured and what he went through for us, it won't happen. Amen. And then it says that he committed himself to God. He committed his suffering to God. That's the way we ought to do it too. Amen. Just commit it to the Lord. Amen. He knows what's happening. He knows what's going on. Look over in chapter 5, just a couple chapters later. And boy, this is a challenging couple verses of scripture. 1 Peter chapter 5. Hey, if you want to get something that'll help your soul, read 1 Peter over again and again and again. Because it's all about suffering. It's all about living the Christian life and about enduring suffering. Amen. Notice what it says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Notice the statement. After that ye have suffered a while. Now listen, he's given us what happens after we suffer. He says, make you perfect. We don't want to look at it this way, but let me tell you something. Suffering is something that perfects us as children of God. It's a perfecting work that goes on in our life. You know what that word perfecting means, or perfect means? A completing work. Jesus had to go through it and endure it. He said that we're going to have to. When we go through the trials, the heartaches, the tribulations, the suffering of this life, man, realize that God's doing it for a purpose. He's perfecting. He's completing us. Amen. And it goes on to say, establish. The word establish there simply means to turn resolutely in a certain direction. Amen. He's trying to turn us, I guarantee you, where he's trying to turn you, the direction is back to him. Amen. Get your eyes on him. You'll make it through the trial. You'll make it through the hardship. Get your eyes back on him. And then he says, not only establish, he says, but strengthen. And that says, it means in spiritual knowledge and power. Man, he'll strengthen us through the trials that we go through. If we'll keep our eyes upon him, considering him and what he had to endure. Amen. And then it says, settle you. You know what that means? He's grounding you. He's grounding you through the suffering that you're enduring and going through. And why? Why all of that? The next verse tells us why. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let me tell you something. All suffering is for his glory. Amen. The suffering of Jesus was for God's glory. Amen. The suffering that you and I endure is for God's glory too. Amen. What are you saying, Brother Martin, today? I'm saying we need to stop and consider what he endured, lest we be wearied and faint in our minds. Consider him and his love. Consider what he endured. Let me say, thirdly, consider him and his obedience to the Father. Boy, oh boy, you talk about obedience to the Father. It says there in verse number 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Over in Philippians chapter 2, I love this passage of scripture, and makes me want to cry every time I read it. But it says this, it's a challenge to us in Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse number 5. And it says this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Boy, he set the example for us. He obeyed unto death. Boy, every one of us ought to have that same heart and mind. What? That I want to follow my Savior. I want to be what he was and what he did. I want to be obedient unto the Father to the very death. Amen. Dear friend of mine passed away last year. Most people know the story. Missionary to Iraq. He was martyred over there. There were so many times I talked to him and I said, Stephen, man, I pray for you and your family more often than any other missionary. He had three little tow-headed girls when he went over there and in Iraq, in the country of Iraq, trying to reach those people in that Muslim nation. And then they had this little son also. But I said, Stephen, man. And he said, Brother Dan, I'm right where God wants me to be. And God knows what he's doing with my life. And whatever he's going to do with my life, he's going to do with it. And I'm trusting him. He was martyred at 38 years of age last year in Iraq. Left behind his wife and his children. But you know the interesting thing? His wife and his children are very strong. Because he prepared them for it. What do you mean prepared them for it? He kept them looking to Jesus. He kept them looking to the will of God. And they're following the will of God that no matter what happens, God is good. Amen. What are you saying? Obedient unto death. Could we do that? Somebody put a gun to the side of your head today and said, you renounce your Christianity right now or you're going to take a bullet. I pray that I would be like John R. Rice when he dropped his glasses down and looked at the guy that tried to do it to him and said, you can't scare me with heaven. What do you mean? Be obedient unto death. Amen. Consider what Jesus, our precious Savior, did in his obedience unto death. Again, in the garden, we already read it. Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Then Jesus over in John chapter 8 and verse 29 made the statement, I do always those things that please him. Boy, that's a challenge. Are we living this life to do always those things that please the Father? What are you saying, Brother Martin? I'm just trying to consider him today. Consider Christ. Consider what he endured as in this life as he came. And lastly, let me just say this. Consider him in your need. What do you mean, Brother Martin? You need him today. Boy, if you sit here today without Christ, if you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, there's no other way. There's no other way. You need Christ or you're going to spend an eternity in a devil's hell. Amen. But the truth of the matter is you don't have to. God's already paved and made a way for you through Jesus Christ. And if you'd come at the altar time here, we can show you how you can know that for sure beyond any shadow of a doubt. Amen. But let me also say, child of God, you need him today. Amen. Consider your need of him today. Well, consider your need of him in the Christian life. Man, walk in that relationship and stay in where you need. You need him every day of your life. Amen. Listen, you need him in your family. Amen. You need him in your home. Consider how you need him. I was trying right before the service to pull something up on my phone. I love this song. And Ron Hamilton sang it many times. And boy, I love this song. And again, it brings me to tears when I hear Ron Hamilton sing it. But the words go this way. Lord, I need you when the sea of life is calm. Oh, Lord, I need you when the wind is blowing strong. Whether trials or come or cease, keep me always on my knees. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Sometimes when life seems gentle and blessings flood my way, I turn my gaze away from you and soon forget to pray. But when the sky grows dark and courage turns to fear, my anxious voice cries upward with words you long to hear. Lord, I need you. When the sea of life is calm, oh Lord, I need you. When the wind is blowing strong. Whether trials come or cease, keep me always on my knees. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Lord, help me to remember I'm weak, but you are strong. I cannot sing apart from you, for Lord, you are my song. Although I'm prone to wander and boast in all I do, Lord, keep my eyes turned upward so I depend on you. We need him today. I don't know what's going on in your life today, but you need him. We need to stop and consider him today. His love, what he endured, his obedience, and our need of him. Father, I pray that you would bless the altar time, Lord. And I pray that you would help your people through the thought, the simple thought this morning. I want to ask a couple questions with heads bowed and eyes closed. How many could say, Brother Martin, I know for sure that Jesus is my Savior and I'm on my way to heaven. I can raise my hand as a testimony to that. Would you slip it up high? I don't have any doubts about that at all. I see those hands. I appreciate your honesty. You can put them down. But if you're here today and you'd say, Brother Martin, I don't have that assurance. I don't know that. But if I could know that, I want to know that. Would you pray for me? You'd slip a hand up. That's me, Brother Martin. I see that hand. Anybody else? Pray for me, Brother Martin. I'm not sure about that, but I surely want to know that. Anybody else? Pray for me, Brother Martin. Anybody else? Boy, the greatest thing in all the world is to know that you're a child of God on your way to heaven. Let me ask you, how many would just say, Brother Martin, boy, I needed this today. God spoke to my heart about some things. I've got my eyes off of Him. I got my gaze away from Him. I need Him. Would you pray for me this morning? You slip a hand up. That's me, Brother Martin. Pray for me. I see those hands across the crowd. Maybe you're sitting here today and maybe sin has clouded your life and clouded your thinking. Maybe you're so far away from Him, you're just in a daze right now. I'm going to tell you something. He's waiting on you with open arms. Why don't you come back to Him today? Why don't you just repent of whatever it is and get right so you can have that joy back in your life again? Let's stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed.